Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Luke chapter 14, verses 31 through 33, Jesus said, "Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, over 90% of the time, might even be higher than that, I base my sermons on scripture lessons that we read out of the lectionary. But this week, I'm basing it more on what Redeemer's youth group that went on the mission trip and what the youth leaders did and focused on this past week in Chicago, which was looking at God's kingdom, God's upside-down kingdom. It's not always what you expect, and he often uses things that you don't expect or people that you don't expect to advance his kingdom. Our gospel lesson that I picked was one that was within some of the devotions that we read. And in it, Jesus says that if a king is about to go to war, he has to figure out first whether he has the resources to win the battle. Otherwise, he shouldn't even waste his time going to war. He might as well just make a peace treaty right now as opposed to going to a war he can't win. Well, following Jesus isn't always easy, and if you don't have a strong commitment, I think chances are pretty good you're never going to follow through on following Jesus. Well, this past week, I had an experience that really helped drive that point home for me. Now, before I proceed, I'll ask for your forgiveness ahead of time, but I also want to point out that God is not afraid throughout the scripture to use all kinds of examples to get people's attention, including matters otherwise deemed unacceptable in your typical church circles. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 4 or Mark chapter 7, Ezekiel and Jesus use the same kind of subject matter that I'm about to use. If Jesus can talk about human waste in a God-pleasing manner, then maybe I can try to. We'll see. The proof will be in the pudding, whether you get the point that I'm trying to get across or not. If not, forgive me, blame it on lack of sleep and not as much time to prepare for a sermon as normal. So anyways, like many mission trips, facilities were limited. In fact, on our mission trip, there was only one facility for the males to use. You can imagine that things got pretty clogged up at night. But on Monday night, the clogging was not just figurative, but literal. Someone had left a rather unsightly and smelly gift that had decided to take up permanent abode in our sole men's commode. Now, I realized this along with a group of others when I went to get ready for bed that night. Now, after watching one of the youth work staff trying to plunge that toilet and then coming back 10 minutes later and seeing that the problem was still not, well, rectified, I knew it was time to step in. Now, maybe you don't know this about me, but I consider myself to be a bit of an expert on unclogging toilets. And if unclogging toilets is about anything, it's about desire. Do you really want to unclog that toilet, or would you rather just avoid the situation? I could tell by the expression of one of the youth work staff, Nick, as he exited the bathroom, that he had zero desire to be in that room anymore. And I saw another youth work staff working on that, our manager, and her body language spoke volumes. Suffice it to say that her form stunk. She was literally on the back of her heels, kind of like tentatively, gently plunging, and I really don't know why she was doing what she was doing, why she even bothered, because she wasn't doing anything. In their defense, they had probably had a, well, bad day already. They had successfully unclogged multiple toilets over the past month and even earlier that day, but this one was being a real stinker. It reminds me of a saying that I don't say, but my grandma Enterline liked. She used to say, I'm paraphrasing a bit, either poop or get off the pot. In other words, don't mess around, take care of business, or let someone else do it. Well, I had been waiting, and in fact, to brush my teeth for over 15 minutes, and frankly, I wasn't being nice. I was tired of waiting. I knew, based on what was going on and bringing in water and all kinds of other things, that if I decided to wait patiently, I would be forced to wait for a long time for any progress to be made. So I gently offered my services. And they were like, sure, have a go, but I could tell that they had little faith that I could succeed where they had failed. But let me tell you, before I even went into that bathroom, I knew that my opponent was going down. You see, I'm afraid of many things, but a toilet is not among them. I wanted to unclog that toilet, and so I was going to. I'm a competitive guy, and I took it as a moment of challenge, a moment of pride. I don't like to let any bathroom show me up. Now, you're lucky, I'll spare you the details, but less than a minute after I entered that room, my opponent exited it. Lindsay and Nick, they were incredulous. Nick was like, what? There's no way that went down. But they were also relieved. Now, why do I bring this all up? Well, maybe it's simply because I'm tired and I couldn't think of anything else. Or maybe, but hopefully, it was because as I was lying on my less comfortable than my bed sleeping mat going to sleep, I was thinking about sermons and I was thinking about how this experience was like walking with Christ. We might have called, if I had had time, I would have called this sermon, instead of God's Upside Down Kingdom, God's Upside Down Kingdom, Toilets and Faith Taking the Plunge. Walking with Jesus in some ways is very, very not the same, obviously. But in some ways, it's very similar to doing an undesirable task. You just gotta take the plunge. Now, I'll move on. Maybe it's a bit unpious or unsettling, but I think it makes a worthwhile point. We have been called to follow Jesus. And following Jesus is a rodeo. It ain't no pony show. As Christians, we often have to be willing to do what others aren't willing to do. We have to, as we did this week, love those who many consider unlovable. We have to be honest about our shortcomings. We have to swallow our pride. We have to learn to turn the other cheek, to be patient with those who are exasperating. We have to learn to love all our relatives, all our co-workers or students, even those who make us want to pull our hair out. Now, nobody wants to do any of those things unless they have a very good reason for doing so. Our good reason is sharing the love of Christ and learning to follow our Savior day by day. After all, following Jesus is not a matter only of knowledge, but also of brutal honesty and confession, and it's a matter of committed compassion. It's always encouraging for me to go on mission trips with the youth to see so many Christians and so many Christian youth who are willing to put their faith into action and to love others and do things that they, some of them, have never done before, that, and to do them willingly, even when it's hot or uncomfortable. Christ has called us to love the world around us. And I'm not talking about pop, songish, highly processed, and overly sugared definitions of love, but of the love that is willing to get its hands dirty, start digging for weeds, or changing diapers, or listening to others even when you're tired. That's the kind of love that Christ calls us to. Again, the point with my story is that when it comes to unclogging a toilet, you have to decide whether you really want to plunge it or whether you just want to avoid it. Well, don't let the devil deceive you. Faith is not simply a matter of head knowledge. It won't be any better for you to sit on the fence or to be lukewarm. Don't do it halfway. Following Jesus is a commitment that usually doesn't work halfway, because we know that after all, our lives are clogged up with the foulness of human sin and iniquity. You and I on our own have absolutely no chance of getting that foul-smelling filth out of our life without asking Jesus to help us. It will just stay stuck there, messing up your life and blocking your relationship with God. Now, don't mistake me. I don't mean that we have to be perfect or sinless. We are not perfect, much or sinless. Following Jesus doesn't mean that we have to be perfect or that we get a new list of rules to follow. It's not about the rules. It's about relationship. It's not about how many sins you've committed or how many good things you've done. It's about being willing to allow Jesus into your life through things like Scripture or baptism. It means making a commitment to connecting with fellow Christians and letting other Christians help you and follow Christ. Now, all of you are doing those things by sitting here, but committing to Jesus also means listening to what he tells you, not just going through the motions, but taking to heart what our Savior tells us to do. Committing to Jesus means letting him into our life so that he can see the good, the bad, and the ugly about us. It doesn't mean being perfect. It's more like being perfectly honest with God. Following our Savior means committing to Jesus and trusting in his words, promises, and grace. I'm not talking about rules. It's so hard for us to get past that. But I'm talking about actually listening to Jesus like you would listen to someone who you love and respect or think highly of in your own life, and trying to put that into practice, and then failing and asking for forgiveness, repenting, and starting all over again. The truth of the matter is, at least in my experience, committing to Jesus usually, and when I grow in my faith, it usually makes me feel more like a sinner, more aware of my shortcomings, and therefore more grateful for grace, and more reliant on Christ and less on myself. Well, Jesus invites you today, as he does every day when you encounter his word, into a deeper relationship with him. And now it's your move to respond to the Spirit's calling in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.